Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your boys at the 1973 podcast, and we are back with another regular episode. No special episode this week. Big shout out last week to Doug Smith. That episode was absolutely awesome. So if you haven't seen it, go check it out. If you're a hockey person, definitely our type of guy. Great guy. Can't say enough good things about that episode. So back rolling, good format. Back to my favorite segment of the show. Could talk movies, TV, Flash, whatever, pop culture for the whole podcast if we wanted to. So, Edward,
Yes, sir.
you know what we do. Take
Yes,
it
we
away.
do. All right. Hey there, podcast fans. Are you ready to show off your love for the 1973 podcast? We've got over 20 different designs of t-shirts and hoodies that capture the essence of classic stuff. Whether you're a fan of the show or just love that retro feel, we've got something for everyone. From the bold prints to subtle nods to your favorite personalities, each piece is made with top-notch quality and that timeless style that you crave, perfect for lounging at home or making a statement out and about. And don't wait, our collection is flying off the shelves faster than you can say, don't be cheap, buy a shirt. Visit us now at bonfire.com and grab your favorites before they're gone. And also check us out at the 1973 podcast store on YouTube. Just click the link below.
All right, Ed. So, was your pick last week, and I had picked a documentary the week before. So, you chose to also pick a documentary. So, you're up, your pick. You start us off.
I did. I picked Bigger, Faster, Stronger. I figured it kind of tied in kind of what the best things of this podcast are about. I mean, what we talk about. We talk about sports and wrestling and kind of really hit that kind of like how we all kind of grew up in the 80s. So I thought it really just was, I thought it was like the perfect fit coming off of the Doug Smith, interview special edition programming that we had going on. So, I liked it. I thought it was pretty just, it was great because it talks about that 1980s culture, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Rambo. It talked about, that wrestling. It talked about all the things that we talk about, like, Hogan versus the Sheik and all of that stuff. And I just thought it was just a great movie. It was a nice little different documentary. Talked about, baseball and steroids and how steroids have influenced everything. So, in our culture, whether it be baseball, whether it be wrestling, whether it be football, and how, kind of hidden that they are, kind of in plain sight, if you would. So I'm going to give it a 7.7. I'm going to give it the old Ray Bourque score. So I'm going to kick it to to the next gentleman. Whoever would like to take the floor, go right ahead.
I'll take it next. I hadn't seen it before. I'm surprised this one slipped by me because it's
Wait a second. Time. Whoa. Wait a second. I slipped a movie past you.
you did. You did.
It's
But
a good thing I'm sitting down.
I enjoyed it. It's a t definitely Gen X, right? Everything that you grew up on, the way that the three brothers, kind of were all enamored with the wrestling, and they all had their own different personalities in that house. Typical 80s house. It's I can't add too much more than what you added, Ed, without kind of repeating it. I definitely really enjoyed it. It was definitely kept my attention the whole time, and it, just to see how they get, I don't know if they got the clips through like third party or whatever, but I'm surprised they didn't get sued for making that documentary on a bigger scale because they used a lot of clips in that are all copyrighted. So I want to know how they got around that with their lawyers on that one. But definitely a good watch, Gen X, like I said. So I'm scoring it a little different. Going 6.3. Very entertaining. I'm glad I watched it, but my score is 6.3.
That's fair.
Phantom? Yeah. Are we doing a giveaway this week? Are we doing the first DVD giveaway? Take it away, Phantom.
We'll have to decide which one's better. This could go out to any lucky subscriber. Better be subscribed. Let's see what we got here. Oh, it's a classic. I think Ed's movie might have been a little bit better. Way I go
The
with Michael Myers in The Love Guru. We
So
get
tell everybody the stipulations.
here's the stipulations. We get 100 views. I'm leaving this sucker on my porch. You can come cruising through. Grab it anytime you want.
Love Guru. 100
Love Guru.
views.
Instant classic. Oof. Love Guru. Back to the dark. definitely solid. Like much like you, I never saw it before. I like the way that the I got two of you guys. two got me
I got
got
two of
two.
you.
And we watch a lot of documentaries too, so that's a good score. Where were they? The Bell Brothers, the one that does the narration.
Yeah,
I thought it was kind of done in a fun way with the way that he went about talking about his brothers or his heroes, I guess you could kind of say. It kind of made me laugh that like all his heroes all were probably on steroids, like most of us. But yeah, it's as you watch it, and it's kind of funny where it's like I don't know what year it came out. It's a little dated. I'm guessing it was like sometime in the 2000s. But like,
was an eight.
like my views probably kind of changed on it from the time when the movie came out. If I had watched it back then, I might have been like, oh yeah, these guys were all cheaters. But like now that I get older, I kind of look at it like it's like anything else. Most of these pro guys aren't really abusing steroids like maybe like in the 70s and the old days. It's all done with a doctor and all that. So if that's your job to perform, and why shouldn't you be able to go to a doctor and be at your peak levels, I guess you could say. But no, overall, I enjoyed it a lot. I'll go 7.2.
All right, Professor, it's you have the floor, and it's your pick this week, so
I really liked it. What's that, Ed?
I still can't believe I got all three of you guys.
I had never even heard of this one.
I can't believe it. I mean, I'm It's been a long
shocked.
time since you got that hat trick. Yeah, that's almost never, Ryan. Actually, it is a never. How's that? Let's
I
call
liked
it
how
a
the
spade.
brothers, how the he had different views than his brothers with the steroid. He was like sort of against it. His brothers were all for it. I thought that was an interesting little contrast that they had going there. It's funny because I'm like Ryan. My attitude's changed since, I mean, when I was younger. I think it's high, if it's I don't want I'd say not for kids, but if you're an adult. If you know the risks and if you still want to do it, then do it. And you just have to know that you could end up, unfortunately, like Lyle Alzado and some of the other guys that have had it, where in the later years, it's going to tear your body up. It's tough because, like he said in the movie, in America, if you're not first, you're last. So if, in a competitive world that we live in, you're looking for any advantage that you can get. So it's tough. But, I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was a little long. I mean, it was like what, hour and 50 minutes, hour and 45 minutes. It dragged a little bit. I had the same score as Ryan's, but I'm going to change it up just so we're not saying I'm going with a 7-3.
Juice it up.
You juice up that score, Professor. Juice it up. Just stay with the theme of the doc.
Yes.
I think that the documentary, though, I think that the main point is like it does. It's a they're a recovery aid, and it gets you able to come back faster again. Not so much like that they get you bigger, and like obviously you have to have your nutrition dialed in. And there was a point in the movie that they talked about. It's not going to hit. You're not gonna be able to hit a 95 mile an hour fastball like Barry Bonds if you don't have the skills behind it. I mean, I think that that's part of it too. So, I'm not fully on board with it with taking and performance enhancing drugs or anything like that. I'm just saying that that's the more logic behind it. That's all. I
I
thought he
thought stuck to his guns pretty good, where he hit that was in that weightlifting competition, and his younger brother's like blown away by like 150 pounds on the bench. the other part that I laughed at was that guy that has the biceps, the world's largest biceps. And he's like, oh, I can still hit a 90 mile an hour fastball. And they go to the batting cages and he can't shit. I thought that was pretty good.
About the dude from Over the Top living in his car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying
Living
that
out
is,
there.
yeah. that he's still living on on his terms, not society's terms. He's waiting for his break to come back around again.
All it takes is a chance.
Just a chance. Just like 100 views and you too could win the love guru.
That guy, Greg Valentino, Andy, that I mean, that dude, his arms did explode because he actually like got infected from injecting so many steroids.
I don't doubt it, Ed. I
No,
don't doubt it.
he actually did. Like he actually like his arms got infected. Like
Oof.
so they man, that just it ain't worth it that much.
Not to look like that.
No. Hey, why don't you're at the restaurant, let's eat a steak off the bone.
Yeah. He probably said, I'll take you out to eat. And that guy's acting like that. And who's that other guy that was sitting next to him, the bald dude that looked like Prince Albert?
Oh, that I don't know.
Yeah. They never talked about his lackey. Tom, what do you got for a score?
7-1.
7-1 on the dog. Pretty good. Not bad. Not bad. Brad would have to tell us what the IMDb score is, but Brad is using personal time this weekend. So, Thomas, what do you have for us for our viewing homework for next week?
In honor of our awesome interview with Doug Smith last week, which I personally, that was the most fun I've had with all the interviews we've done so far. I think that was my favorite one. I'm picking Goon.
There we go. We haven't done it yet. And I hope Brad's on for next week's episode because he must watch The Goon. He'll probably get a kick out of it. So, Thomas, we're going to move on from the
Sure.
movie segment and get into a little bit of a wrestling talk. So let's talk. We're a week or two behind. Let's talk Dark Side of the Ring, Tony Atlas. So far, I'm gonna say for this season, this was my favorite one, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because Tony Atlas is still alive to do the interview, and I feel that it adds a lot more when you have the perspective of the person that the subject matter is about. Also, I thought that the talking heads on this one, they had a very eclectic group of people in the footage that they showed. They used a lot of really good footage of Tony Atlas. So, as far as it goes, this was one of my favorite ones. And I find Tony Atlas to be, because he's so humble with his upbringing, he seems to be an open book and he seems not to bullshit that much about any of the story of his career. Ed, what'd you think?
I thought it was really good. I agree with you. I think it's the best one out of the bunch that we've reviewed so far. I appreciate the fact that he's honest about stuff, and he just yeah. This is I didn't know about that he had such a shoe fetish. That was something I didn't know.
If you're
But
gonna lie about something, that's probably one of the things you'd
yeah.
lie about. You might as well not lie about anything. If you're letting that out, there's nothing else can be worse. So you might as well just let it all fly.
But I thought it was good. It was, and to echo your point, Andy, it's nice to see him when he's still alive and that he could actually talk about stuff and that type of thing. And he wasn't afraid to talk about stuff. And I thought it just flowed nicely. I mean, it kind of sticks to the dark side a little bit, but because he was on the park bench, but I thought it was good.
Phantom, Tony Atlas.
Tony. It was it was
Famer.
definitely Hall of Famer. No, Tony, it was definitely interesting. A lot of the stuff I did know that he was homeless and all that, but just we always laugh when he makes his appearances and he talks about people. And as I'm watching that, I'm just thinking to myself, like, this guy's just too dumb to lie. Like, I don't think he even knows better when to lie. He's like a functioning whatever
Well,
you want to call it. Yeah,
well,
he's a little special.
he can't read or write. He said it,
Yeah,
so
he's
he's. I'm sure there's a lot of times people try to pull a lot of stuff with him. So,
very naive. when they were, you know, kind of when they were getting into stuff with him. So it's you know, you kind of actually feel bad for the guy a bit. I thought it was a little heartwarming when he like the woman that took him in, he ended up marrying her, and then just, you know, how she how her health is now. I thought that was like kind of a nice way to end it, that, you know, show off the heart a little bit. You know, the guy might not be the smartest, but he's, you know, he's got a big heart. He overall, I thought it was pretty good. I didn't like it as much as you guys did, but I used to always kind of like sometimes when he's on those documentaries, and I always look at it as like the amount of his career that he was actually mainstream is very, very little. Like you're probably looking at maybe like 6 or 7 years that he was actually a big household name, but we still kind of remember him for some reason. I like the part where they always, me and Andy always used to joke around about the Saba Simba, when they brought him back, and I was like, they're straight making fun of him after, you know, after all the guy had been through it. It was like, oh yeah, we're gonna gimmick for you. But he kind of made me laugh when he was like, I was sleeping on a park bench, you could have me do whatever you wanted, and I was in.
Yeah, I don't know how to take Mark Henry when they bring him on for things like that, because he seems to turn everything kind of a certain way. It's like he kind of picks it apart in a way that it's, I don't know how to put it, pro, you know, does he seem like he's pushing everything towards a race thing all the time when he has a talking head like that come on? And he, you know, I don't know. Is it me, or does he just seem like he tries to take over the show with that?
Maybe, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. What'd you think, Ed?
I don't know. That's a great point. I never noticed it that way. So I'll have to, the next time I see it, I'll have to look at it from that angle, because I never looked at it from that standpoint.
Yeah.
In other words,
Thomas,
it's you, Andy. No.
it must be. It must be.
There were a
Okay.
few things in this I didn't know, like the thing. First of all, his dad seemed like a scumbag. I mean, having him fighting guys when he was a kid. Over his gambling debts and stuff like that. But I didn't realize that the Crocketts had discovered him. And I thought that was interesting how they were paying him to train and that whole story there. And one of the other things that I didn't know was that he and Rocky Johnson didn't get along.
That I know.
I didn't know that. And it's funny which how he put it with not just Rocky Johnson, but back then, most of these promotions only had one black guy on the roster, and so it was basically a competition. So most of the black guys didn't get along because of that. They were all competing for one spot. But I thought it was, I mean, I haven't heard many good things about Dick Murdoch, but what he did
Oh, I forgot about that.
was
Yeah.
a douchebag move there. And it's funny because I never was never like outside of the ring. I don't know, there was something about Tommy Rich that I didn't like, but he seemed like a pretty good dude with Tony Atlas in that situation anyway. But I actually thought it was the best one this year that I've watched. We've met Tony Atlas. He was a real nice guy when we met him. Pretty soft-spoken, but
Great artist.
it's sad seeing him. I mean, it was pretty sad. I mean, it was heartwarming seeing how he's taking care of his wife now, but it's just like he's had a lot of stuff from based his childhood to now. He's gone through a lot of stuff, and I mean, he's gotten through with it, but it's not an easy life, that's for sure.
Can you really feel bad for somebody that gets walked all over when they like it?
I think I'm going to go see Tom's statement from about 5 minutes ago.
The thing that's the irony with the WWF tag team belts is they beat the Samoans, which Rocky Johnson behind the scenes had a connection to. But who did they lose the belts to? Adrian Adonis and Dick Murdoch. That's the irony right there for the whole, you know, Dick Murdoch KKK thing that they did to him.
One thing I'm calling bullshit on with him is he said that if he didn't miss an appearance or something, whatever it was, because he was with a woman with a fetish thing, they were going to have him win the belt. I call bullshit because that was right during Hulk Hogan's big thing. I mean, he wasn't losing to anyone, so I'm calling bullshit on that one.
Yeah, the other thing too, that was interesting about that is how close he was with Tommy Rich at the time. You got to give Tommy Rich a lot of credit for being super Southern and kind of palling around with Tommy with Tony Atlas when he at a time 79, 80 when you know things were really in the Deep South still oppressed with you know what Dick Murdoch did to him and all that other stuff where he could easily being a Southern guy just went along with it and Tommy Rich's personality you would think he'd be different but it's great to see that they were still close. I've seen interviews now with the two of them when they still get together. It's pretty funny the way that the way they interact as older guys. So it's pretty entertaining.
I thought it was cool too when going back to the Mark Henry saying that he that was like he was that was like his favorite wrestler when he was growing up. So that he like he went out of his way to be like, hey, make him my manager, even though Tony Atlas doesn't really have the classic managerial, you know, he wasn't really that great on the mic or anything like that, but just to give him a job to keep him hanging on.
I wonder what the story is behind the out of the blue Tony Atlas goes home and they fire him just on a out of nowhere. They didn't really touch on the reason why, or they didn't talk to anybody that had a point counterpoint with why
Yeah,
he was released.
I think they were trying to point out that Vince is a weasel, where he probably already knew he was going to fire him, but he's like, hey, you're doing a great job. We'll see you the next time. And then once he goes home, he calls him and says, hey, dude, you fired. Like, instead of just fire, instead of firing him in person, he let him go back home before he fired him, so he have to deal with him.
Yeah. Speaking of, let's what anything you want to add before we wrap up the dark side this week? Well, let's get into the controversies around WrestleMania. Buzz on the street, Triple H in the hot seat after WrestleMania. Thoughts on the post-WrestleMania dirt?
I kind of think that's BS. I think that's a lot of it's like driven by The Rock. I'm like super curious to be like, there's something must have happened behind the scenes from the time where they had the where The Rock showed up with the whole angle with Cody's soul, and then it's from there he just never was back on TV again. So I kind of think that he must have came up with some storyline, and it, whether it was him and Triple H, which it seems like might have went like that's not going to work, or whatever it was, and then he just was like took his ball and went home. And we're like, all right, then I'm not, then just do what you want, but I'm not going to be involved, because it just kind of ruined the whole story of, I guess they were saying too that like I think that The Rock wanted Cody to turn bad, and Triple H is like, we're not turning our top baby face bad just for like for your angle for headed into WrestleMania, which then they ended up, I guess, putting it on Cena. But then now it seems like Cena turned bad for no reason, even though he's, I think he's kind of running with it pretty good. Well, so a lot of people don't like it, but I kind of get a kick out of it seeing him do it. But it, you could tell it was like a big time curveball that, and they didn't really have time to recover. But for The Rock to go on like McAfee later on, and it'd be like, oh, you know, I would have did stuff different, I didn't want to get in the way, and blah blah blah. I think he's full of shit. I think he's just trying to like throw shade on Triple H as if to say, well, if I was there, it would have been better, but they didn't want me.
Professor, what do you
Yeah,
think?
it just looks like, I don't know, to me, The Rock has too much power right now, where he's like, what, the vice president or whatever it is, and now he's got control over his story, his own storyline. So it looks like he's throwing everything into chaos, because he doesn't let it, doesn't seem like everyone's on the same page at all. It seems like he got mad and took his ball and went home, and like he posted, and everyone thought it was a swerve, where he was in Hawaii during WrestleMania, and everybody thought it was a swerve, and it wasn't. But it just, to me, it's thrown everything, and it looks like Ryan said, it's thrown everybody off their game, because it a lot of stuff doesn't make sense with what they're doing with the story, and I don't know how they pull themselves out of it now. It's weird, but they're actually pushing for John Cena, even locally on the around here on the news. They had a story the other night and talking about his last appearance with WWE is going to be at the TD Garden. I don't know if, what it's going to be, a pay-per-view, I would imagine, but
They said it was they're gonna bring back the Ruthless Aggression.
yeah. So he's they're pushing that already on TV, and they had an interview with his dad, but That wasn't the only, like, I won't say controversy, but it's like seemed like everything was like seemed like everybody was like mass confusion. Like they took Bailey out of her match, like, and not everybody was a lot more people than I thought were upset about that. I'm putting Seth Rollins' wife, Becky Lynch, back into the picture, and Bailey's a team player, so she went along with it. And actually, she's got a lot of the veterans coming out now, supporting her. Like Stone Cold came out the other night with a tweet and called her a Hall of Famer. And so, I mean, it just seems like right now they had so much momentum going a couple months ago, and they totally screwed it up and lost it.
It seems like all the stuff that came out of the WrestleMania was all non-wrestling stuff, like Austin hitting that god rail and knocking that lady down. I've seen it from about four different angles with people that had it on their phone.
He hits the guardrail, and all of a sudden the lady, like 3 seconds later, is... Hey, you pay $15,000 for a front row seat and you walk out of there a millionaire. Not too bad.
The funny part is, I think as I get older and I look at these legends as they get older, I think Steve Austin's my favorite. He's definitely one of my favorites because he's like it just he's like such just a dude. You know what I mean? He hit that god rail with the quad, which he had already had a hard time getting up on the stage. He's buzzing around. And then when he hits the guardrail, he goes over and, says whatever. And as if you watch, when he goes to roll in the ring, he's got this smile on his face, like I can't make this stuff up, kind of laugh and kind of good old boy kind of thing. And it was like he's just fun. He's just one of those guys that seems like it's fun. I saw he was at the fan fest that they had at WrestleMania, and somebody hands him a card to sign. And I guess when they handed it to him, it was inside one of those plastic sleeves. So he signs the card and gives it back to the guy, and the guy's looking at it and he's like, "No, it's inside of a sleeve." And Steve Austin had signed the plastic, and he looks at the guy and he goes, "God damn, they think everything now." And he's ended up signing the card laughing. So it was like, it's just hilarious to see him. He entertains me more than Mick Foley, more than The Rock, more than Flair. It just he entertains me top to
It was a
bottom.
funny,
Oh, go ahead. Go
it
ahead.
was another funny Stone Cold story from the WrestleMania weekend. I guess Jake Paul
That's
was
what I was
on
going to say. Go ahead.
a Pat McAfee show, and he told Pat McAfee they offered Stone Cold $1 million to be in the Prime suit, and Stone Cold basically told him to pound sand.
Yeah, there's a lot of this stuff that came out of the WrestleMania weekend. Now, let's talk Kill Tony. If you're a Kill Tony fan, that the whole segment is banned. They whitewashed all of social media with the stuff that went up. Paul Heyman went off. I heard Nia Jax went off. They told people that they couldn't record during the podcast of it or whatever. And did you see anything from it?
Nope.
I did. There was this video was out like from like fans recording stuff, but I guess Paul Heyman was gonna fight with Fluffy, whatever Iglesias there. I guess he started going in on him. The guy started getting pissed off, wanted to fight Paul Heyman.
How about Paul Heyman on Pat McAfee?
Pretty good with the Shannon Chop stuff and the Stephen A. I think he was just like busting freaking Pat's balls more than anything else. I don't think that McAfee was really saying that stuff, like, because you could see his face like, oh, come on, dude.
So let me talk about old school wrestling fans. Now, let's say Paul Heyman was doing kind of like a modern day version of what Dr. D was doing, just without the physical contact. And he's drawing eyes to talking points about what we're talking about right now. So isn't that the whole point of wrestling as a whole, is the psychology of it to draw you in and make you talk about the stuff and make you think like, is it a work or is it? That's the best part about it, and that's why he's really good. And I wish that more guys didn't worry about the consequences and worried about going for the drawn eyes on the product and what they're trying to put out there. Thoughts on that?
I was gonna say
Oh,
that's when that's really when it's at its best. Look at the the little kind of Karrion Kross stuff that's been more on social media than actually on the WWE shows. Kind of looks like it might be a little bit of a work, but it, like the whole work of it is like, oh, you left me off WrestleMania, and you got these all these celebrities on there, and I've paid my dues, I've missed funerals and all this, and it rolls into like the Bayley stuff, and the people that have been on for a long time that probably deserve spots on that card, a Sami Zayn, he's kind of been a big guy as far his last couple of years, not on the card, but then yet they got all this other nonsense on there. So I kind of like how they're going with that. Guy might actually get over after all this time from just not being on the card than actually if he had got a spot.
what I saw on Raw following WrestleMania, it's like they had all day to shake their head and say, we did that all wrong. And they kind of tried to throw in some new stuff to kind of like
They bounced back. They bounced back pretty good though, because the Raw was really good. So people got short term memories when it comes to that stuff.
yeah, and the Randy Orton thing was pretty good with Cena. I thought that
I
was pretty good.
think if they really wanted to kill it too, they like when that. I think Cody's going to be out off TV probably for a little bit just before they bring him back. But when they bring him back, if The Rock's not going to be on TV anymore, have Cody go out with the mic and be like, shoot on The Rock and be saying like, oh, 2 years in a row, you're already trying to. Ruin my angles or whatever, whether they want to turn him heel or John Cena was right the whole time kind of thing, or however they go about it, but they're the ones with the mic. The Rock's got a big presence on social media, but they could kind of spin it onto him somehow, some way, saying that he's messing with things from behind the scenes, even if they want to throw it into that final boss kind of shit that he's like he's meddling in the background.
Tom, you want to add anything to that?
Not to that, but I do have one more. I think you're a fan of this. There's a female wrestler reportedly on her way to WWE. Mariah May is she's reportedly pretty close to being done, if not already done, with a contract with AEW, and WWE said they'll take her in a second. So looks like she'll be there within the next month or two.
I also heard that Wardlow's in talks with them too. So, if they're gonna pick part AEW of all the, everybody and just be left with MJF, I mean, there's not a lot good over there. Thomas, I can see you want to add.
I was
Did
going
you
to say,
guys
ask Ricky Starks how that works out.
see the video of backstage of Dominic with
I
Scott
did.
Steiner?
I
That was
did.
funny.
So, isn't that good heat though? Isn't that how you're supposed to be like as a heel? Like when you're the, I he's not like the Ole Anderson surly heel. He's the chicken shit heel, as they say back in the day. He's a new version of that. He gets the heat. People want to cheer for him, but he knows how to bring the heat on himself. For either he's with whoever the most popular female is on the female roster. He's part of that or something, just to get the rub off of that, or it's great. It's really good.
He definitely has that Rocky Maivia kind of heat where everybody like legit hated him. Like, why is this guy on TV? He sucks. Now everybody loves him. So he did something right. He made the most of it.
Yeah, just I think that's what you gotta do when they give it, the Doink the Clown outfit. You just gotta go out there with it and kind of make it the best you can. We're putting a cap in the wrestling stuff and trying to do some sports talk now so it doesn't fall asleep. I can see he's over
Sure.
there.
And wake up. Hey, oh, hey, and you know what I was gonna say? After they went through all that stuff to have John Cena win the belt, pass up Ric Flair. If I was AEW, somehow, some way, some kind of stipulation, BSW, I'd have Ric Flair win that belt, the AEW belt, just to screw up the WWE's plans.
That'd be hilarious. But
Especially
you know
where
what?
they wouldn't let him go on. Be on in WrestleMania because he's on
Right.
the contract, but he's not really even on their TV.
Yeah.
Next show on AEW, Ric Flair wins the belt.
Imagine.
That'd be so
Imagine
awesome.
that.
Just
Yeah,
to fucking just to stick it
but they don't have any
to
foresight like that, Ryan. That's why they're in the trouble that they're in.
him. Like Ed says, we're just a phone call away.
Phone call away.
Great
Phone
phone
call.
call away.
Yep.
My
Yep.
booking's way better than.
The
Love
Love
Guru.
Guru.
Yeah, one more thing. Is there any talks on DMD going to WWE?
I haven't heard anything.
Big fan though. Big fan of the DMD.
DMD or Mariah May? Take your pick.
Only one of them accepts Delta Dental, so I gotta go with that one.
Ooh, free teeth cleaning.
Both ways. Let's put a cap in this until Bradford comes back and Superstar Billy Graham next week. Can't wait for that one. And Thomas, you know what time it is? It's time to talk shitty picks.
Alrighty, Tom's Shitty Picks is brought to you by Brock Street Brewing Company, located at 244 Brock Street South in Whitby, Ontario. Everything is brewed in-house, including their hard iced teas, their beers, vodka sodas, and their hard seltzers. So if you're in the Whitby area, go check them out and tell them the 1973 podcast sent you. So this week, fantasy baseball is starting to get in full swing. For the week, I'm pitching the pitcher I think will have the best week. I'm going with Chicago Cubs starter Shota Imanaga. He's got two starts this week against Oakland, and I think it's against Milwaukee. He's 2-1. The guy is getting no love from fans and stuff, but he started, I think he's been in the league probably 20 something starts, and he's like 18-4 over those starts. So it's time they start putting some respect on his name.
Well, Thomas, let's get the football talk out of the way with and talk about the controversy. You got to bring Ed into the fold with this. Take it away.
Ed, you want to start?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start. I mean, I kind of feel like this whole thing with Shador, I think it's the league telling Dion and Shador, like, we're in charge, not you guys. And, I think that, if you look at Shador's talent, I mean, he's a really good passer. Is he as athletic as his dad? Absolutely not. But I think he's a really, and I mean, he just got drafted by the Browns. I mean, I hope that he doesn't have turn into another Ed Stone of dead quarterbacks that go to Cleveland. But I think that it's weird to see how far he fell in 3 days. I mean, he was projected to be pick in the top three quarterbacks, so in the top 10 draft picks. And so to see him fall to the fifth round, that was really odd to me. Unless some of the scouts saw something and they just said, it's not fixable, so he needs to sit for a while. I don't know. But I'm going to kick it to Ryan and Tom on this one and see what they say. Because I know that, he's one of the favorite Tom's favorite players. So.
I'm going to let Phantom start.
Oh, come on. I think it's the I think it's really on Dion to believe it or not. He's a super huge personality. So like say like the Saints at nine. After he didn't go in those top three picks, everybody kind of was feeling like maybe he's going to go to the Saints. So now y'all Kellen Moore, first time coach, got the opportunity to draft Shador. So say he doesn't start him. The Saints not really all that great. Say the road starts getting a little bumpy. Now I'm sure you're going to have Dion on ESPN. Oh, Shador is better than Derek Carr or whoever else might be in that spot. Next thing you know, you're getting shit canned, and freaking Dion's going to be the coach because he's coached his kid at every level of coming up, junior college, college. He's following him right along. I'm sure if he got a pro job at even Stefanski up in Cleveland, like 2 years from now, Dion's probably going to be the coach. So I think it was a little bit of whatever, a little pee-pee whack or whatever you want to call it to kind of silence him down. Although I do kind of find it a little tough to believe. Like I don't think the NFL sent out a thing or all the right before draft day,
No, I don't think
all the
so.
GMs are all getting together
No,
saying,
no,
"Hey,
no.
nobody take him," because I think it's just a little bit of a reminded me almost a little bit of like say fantasy if you do fantasy. Yeah, you got some guys you're thinking about, and all of a sudden, all the guys in the room are like, "Oh, this guy fucking stinks," or whatever. And in the back of your mind, you were going to take him, or they say, "Oh, yeah, I think he's hurt." Or next thing you know, the guy goes long, and the longer teams were going without taking him, the more question marks were popping up. I was just surprised that like it ended up being Cleveland because they already took Gabriel in like the third round, so they are right now they're like five quarterbacks, so I don't know if they, you know, they got trade chips or whatever, but I guess if, you know, it hits the fifth round, these guys are already trying to take backup running backs and, you know, what if linemen, why would you not take a chance on him? Even if you had a guy that's a quarterback that's going to be a Hall of Fame, I might as well just grab him. But I think it's the circus that comes with it, and I don't think these teams really want to deal with any BS. I think they still have that old school mentality of like nobody's bigger than the team, and it kind of goes to what we were saying before with this NIL money. I know that Dion is his dad, but I'm sure he still got some NIL money from leaving junior college to go to Colorado. So the kid probably got paid big bucks. So now when you're coming into the league and you already got $6 million in your pocket, do you almost really care? They already were saying if he stayed in college, he would have got more money than he's going to get now that he's a fifth round pick.
Well, I mean, Ryan, like my point was, it wasn't that the league GMs called it. I think it, I definitely worded it incorrectly about, because I think that the league was just like, yeah, no, we're not, Dion, you're not in charge here. You know, like it's a PR squash, like you said, you know, and I it's one of those things where, you know, it's one of those things. Dion was acting as the agent,
Yeah,
you know.
it's crazy when you all of a sudden it's like you got the Giants taking Jackson Dart, who I like a lot, but I think Shador's better than him. And then the dude that the Saints took, I never even heard of that freaking guy. He's like 26 years old. Crazy, crazy. You know, it's like it was good TV. I'm like, I stayed watching the draft all the way to the fifth round just because I was intrigued about who's going to end up taking
Yep.
him.
Well, I mean, the Saints are in cap hell anyway. Like, they're, I mean, their cap is all jacked up, and that's so, I mean, Mickey Loomis is, I mean, he's good at it, but they're in cap hell right now. And so maybe it made much sense for them to not draft a top 10 quarterback, so they didn't have to pay him top 10 money, you know,
Right.
because they'll have Derek Carr, and you know, that's a whole situation in itself. You know, if you listen to anything about from the NFL satellite radio, I mean, Derek Carr, the flag on him is that he won't run the ball, and that he gives up a lot of first downs because he won't chuck the ball and run, because his brother got killed when he was playing for the Texans.
He may be Derek Carr might be done anyway because of his elbow. They were saying he's getting his elbow checked, and there's something going on there they won't talk about. But to me, this whole Shedeur Sanders thing has to do with his attitude. If I was been watching all week, I've been watching some podcasts and shows, and they were saying that,
Medallion.
was that?
I said, what is big medallions?
Oh, he was, they were saying that they were talking to NFL executives that did interviews with him, and they said he was the most arrogant player they've ever interviewed. But, and then to say what Ryan said, that these guys could be bitter. Some of these guys doing the interviews are assistant coaches, and this kid's making more money already than from NIL deals than some of these assistant coaches are getting. So that could be it too. But from what I've heard, he's a terrible teammate. They said he was driving around all the year in a Lamborghini down in Colorado, and he's shoving it in his teammates' faces to the point where they had a birthday party for him. They threw a birthday party for him at a club in Colorado, and the only teammate that showed up was Hunter. Nobody else showed up from the entire team. So it tells you that there's something going on in his head, and it doesn't help with Dion. And I think it's a whole thing. I think he's more talented than the balls in NBA, but they don't want to put up with the NBA. Those guys didn't want to put up, the teams didn't want to put up with Ball's dad, and I don't think they want to have to deal with the circus that Dion's going to bring as a as be just being a dad. But to me, you could overlook it if he was better than what he was. He makes too many mistakes as a quarterback. He can throw the ball. He's got all the raw talent. It's up in the head. He makes too many mistakes. Holds on to the ball too long. So, I mean, I'm shocked he went this as late as he did. I thought he would go second round. I mean, if after he didn't go in the first 10, I'm figuring he'd go at least in the end of the first or the second. I was shocked that he
I thought he
went.
was going to go to Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Yeah,
That's where I thought he was going.
the thing that was crazy too. Andy could appreciate this part. So they're showing him on ESPN. Gets a phone call.
Yep.
Yes.
Fucking guy gets freaking pranked by some kids at Ole Miss.
I
They
saw
call
that.
him up and act like they're the GM of the freaking Saints, and like he was even like nobody has this number. And they went through the whole thing, and they're like, "Oh, I know you've been waiting, but you're gonna have to wait a little bit longer," or something like that. And then he gets off the phone, and they're like, all those families looking at him like, "What'd they say?" And he's like, "I don't know. Well, like they said, I gotta wait longer. Like, you go, that's fucked up."
What do you guys, I mean, wasn't it? It was so sad. I don't know if you guys heard of this about the guy that the Steelers drafted,
Oh, Haman.
Hammond, and his
Yeah,
mom
that
died,
was
I
terrible.
think, 2 hours after he got drafted. That's pretty sad. That's a
That's
that gives
sad. That gave you the goosebumps, like she held on long enough just to see it.
yes.
That's still sad.
Yeah, tough to follow that one.
Air went out of the balloon on
So,
one.
football talk done. Time for some hockey talk.
Yep.
All right. So, speaking of controversial stuff, when we get into our NHL playoffs with the hockey, it's a hockey guys podcast this week. No tweeners, no hangers on, no people rolling their eyes. Team Canada. Let's talk Team Canada trial. Thomas, want to bring us up to date on that?
Yeah.
So I don't say anything that is too controversial for the
Something happened in the trial where they wouldn't let any cameras in, so you don't really know what happened. But the judge, right around lunchtime the other day, said that something happened that she had to think about and decide what she wanted to do. And then she came back and said that they were relieving all the jurors, and it was declaring a mistrial. So I don't know if they found something out about a juror that was in here with, I mean, you never know nowadays with cell phones and everything. Somebody may have tweeted something. But now gonna have to start from scratch. They're gonna start picking a new jury, and the trial is gonna go start. Hopefully, they're hoping by the end of this coming week it'll start, and they're expecting it to go 8 weeks.
Phantom kid ad.
Yeah, no, it's been kind of a long time coming here. I know they were pulling away players from off their team so they could testify, guys that were indicted. So it's a bad look for hockey, it's tough. They we won't get into it, but they kind of read what the accusations are, and it's a bad look on all those guys, whether they get on, get off, or if they don't get off. If they don't get off, they're in big trouble. But in the world of public, what everybody thinks of you, their careers might be toast, even if they do get off. So it's I'm curious to see what comes out of it. I had read that it was actually that Team Canada had like kind of already paid the victim off, but it was actually, once all this stuff started coming out, it was the police decided to start looking into it, and they're the ones that kind of pressed the charges. So it's not even really on the a lot of people like to get into the stuff of like, the victim's trying to get paid and this, that, and the other thing. I think she was just going to let it lie and just, stay out of the limelight. But they kind of brought it back in with all this Canada stuff, whether it's this 2018 team or other. They've covered up quite a bit of stuff coming out of that junior hockey and these junior teams. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of it. But either way, it's not going to be good for anybody.
Yeah, and supposedly it goes back to as far allegedly as the late 90s, right? Where they've covered up certain things over the years with certain Team Canada, junior teams, especially the national team. It's not the first time they've had a controversy that was just like that. There was the 2000 and what team was it, Ryan? The
It
two?
was the one with Jordan Tutu and Fleury, and I forget what year it was, but yeah, there was similar incidents, and it comes down to, like, you just can't put yourself in a bad situation. It's whether you got you're big time, you whatever, I'm sure there's groupies, dirty girls, whatever you want to call it. It's you can't put yourself in that situation, because when the stuff comes out and your integrity's in doubt, you're pretty much ruining your whatever, whether it's your career or your personal life. It's It's not worth it, you know?
So let's talk NHL playoffs. Let's get into the nuts and bolts of this first round. Ed, you've been watching?
I have.
Ed, thoughts?
Tough, man. It's pretty physical. A lot of dirty stuff going on. A lot of cross checks to the face going on, which is that's some dirty hockey. The Wilson thing on the bench, like that's been all over YouTube. Ryan, thank you for sending that to me as well. I mean, that especially from that vantage point, that was a nice vantage point. Yeah, and, crying. You know, I mean, it's been good physical hockey. I mean, I think that was it the Devils game, the first against Carolina. I think that they a lot of big hits going on, a lot of guys going out in the first game in that series. I think that Edmonton doesn't look like they can play defense. It looks like who can get to 10 is going to win that series.
Yeah, they all stop the
yeah.
puck.
Skinner,
Street hockey game
Yeah.
all day on that
Yeah.
one.
With the Mylek pads on and everything, you know.
Yeah. Two series that, of course, I'm super interested in watching. I've been trying to stay dialed in with that is Toronto and Ottawa. Obvious reasons.
3-3 right now.
Claude Giroux, my guy. And of course, the Leafs, everybody's the Boston Red Sox of the NHL. It's a fun series.
I took him to win it all in my bracket, Andy.
I don't know, man. I
I think
don't
this is the year they do
know. 2002. And of course, the one that I'm glued into is the Florida, Tampa Bay, all the outlandish antics and stuff like that is just as entertaining as it gets for a hockey fan. That's just about as close to some old school hockey as you're gonna get. And it's funny because when they talk about these little nuances of, oh, they were shooting the puck at Stolats during warm-ups and all this other stuff, I'm like, that used to happen on the regular.
Both
Why?
former teammates for the Panthers. Yep.
Why? Yeah. Why? What's the big deal? The thing that kills me about being on this side of things is you're not playing. You're watching it. It's all entertainment. Like I said before, I'll die on that hill. Whether it's wrestling, whether it's whatever your sport is, you're only watching it. You're not playing. If they win, there's no ring coming in the mail. I love these guys, but I'm not getting in them anything in the mail if they have a win, which
You're not. You're not
it
going to do the one, the 179.99
only took
spot
you
mail
51 years to realize
with the
it did not. I always knew this, but I get immersed in it. I get excited. I'm invested. But yeah, it's fun to watch. I any of those wishy-washy series where there's nothing going on, how can you compare that to what Florida is doing? If they're not entertaining you with that game, they don't lose gracefully. That's what I love about that team. They're gonna take somebody with them. They're gonna make an example out of somebody. They're gonna set the tone for the next game. Like they say in
to
show,
keep your head up.
yeah,
Hey.
keep your head up. That's what he
Keep your head
told
up.
them,
Can you appreciate Hagel trying to out-panther the Panthers? Just
and you
let
gotta
the pucks just go through and blast Barkov. It's like, oh, best guy.
you
I'll
try.
eat that 5 minutes in a game. If he's out of the series, that's we got that much of a better chance of winning.
Yeah, it didn't work. So now the talking point with that is if Kachuk's going to get anything for the it, he hit him clean. Let me he didn't hit him, he didn't hit him clean, but he hit him not in the head.
He hit him because.
Right.
So you want to mess with ours, we're gonna mess with yours.
Yeah,
So
well, especially when the game's going nowhere at the end, set the tone for the next game. So it's,
5-1 game, perfect time to do
yep.
it. Yep. Everybody will be all feisty. Now I
Let's
do
go.
have I'm gonna ask you, gentlemen. So did you see that the NHL was down 14% on viewership? Did you guys see that?
No.
Yeah, they are down 14%.
Jeez, I wonder why, because it's so hard to find the games on freaking TV. That's why.
Even if you have all the channels, it's like once it hits playoff time, it's already like you might get something on ABC or something like that, but it should be like ESPN for TNT. Those are the two that, where's the game today? TBS.
True TV. It's, what
Yeah, it's like, come on.
the hell
I knew that ESPN was going to be a no-go because the hockey's always going to get the back seat to the football. So
Into
I,
basketball now too. Come on now.
yeah. Not for long though, because that basketball is brutal.
Promise, thoughts on the first round.
Well, you know, it's funny. We screwed up, AC. We didn't do predictions this year.
Well,
But
you know, we get sidetracked by the whambulance
yes.
of the anti-hockey police. So
Yes.
don't forget this. It's the first round. We can, as soon as it's done, we can already make predictions. I'm going to tell you that Florida's winning that series. Toronto's winning that series. You know
Tampa.
how it goes. Yeah,
Tampa.
I'm just telling you, Ed. You Canadians not winning
They're
that
not gonna win.
series.
They're not gonna win.
Now,
Hey, Ed, I'll give you credit. That is there a better place to play though in the playoffs?
no,
That
no.
crowd.
I
You guys
mean,
have been talking, and you haven't mentioned the best series so far, Colorado and Dallas.
I think.
Dallas, they're up 2-1, and they've only led for like less than 2 minutes in the whole series. They're winning right now, 2-1. I mean, that series has been. That's the one series I've watched every game so far of, and my chief complaint is Dallas's uniforms. I can't stand their uniforms, but
Really? I like them. My bad.
well, you do have Portuguese in your name, Portuguese Phantom. So now the series that they've been mostly good. I can't get into the Winnipeg St. Louis. I even though Montgomery's a coach, I just can't get into St. Louis. They may be my new most hated team because I can't stand Binnington. And but I'd love to see Winnipeg win just because Hellebuck's got a reputation now where he can't win the big game.
Maybe he's
Now,
just on the
are they
wrong
going to
team.
have the President Cup curse?
It
Could
could
happen.
happen. It could
Yeah.
happen.
Blues came in red hot. So already
I know.
when I was
That
looking at
hurts there,
the matchup,
Tom.
when I looked at that matchup, I didn't have the nuts to take the Blues, but in the back of my mind, I was like, you get those teams that are already playing playoff hockey just to get in. They come in at a different level. You can kind of sneak up on somebody when if they're already on cruise control for the last month of the season because they're trying to stay healthy or whatever.
Yeah, the playoff picture always intrigues me when the sweetheart teams that the networks want, especially TSN, especially the Canadian media, when they start getting bumped off. I love when the anti team like Florida wins because they hate them so much. They won't say it. They hate the way they play, but it wins games. And it's just awesome to see. At Vegas, I'm surprised at that series too. They hung on today,
They got
but
lucky. They got lucky.
I had them going all the way to the finals again.
Now, you're picking you picked Washington, but you better be careful because both goalies, who I don't know how badly they were hurt, but they both left the game, and the guy for Washington looked more serious, where he couldn't even put any weight on his leg. Now, granted, they have Lindgren, but Montreal, that rookie, you know, he's too young to realize how much pressure's on him right now, so you never know.
I want to know the story behind the Patrick Laine benching. That's what I want to know.
He's a pussy. I thought, hey man, it is what it is, dude. That freaking guy's already been on a bunch of teams. When he's scoring, it's great. If he's not scoring, he brings zero to the table. Big guy, don't battle, don't play D. He one trick pony, and he's too inconsistent to really be a stud. He's got all the talent in the world, but he's just rather be playing Fortnite or whatever his deal is. I wouldn't even want that guy on my team. I think he blows.
Tell us how you feel.
That's about it.
I'm just gonna throw a little bait in the water. Hey, this is for Scotty. So when Scotty, when you listen to this on Monday, how about that coach from St. Louis? Too bad the Bruins can't have somebody like that,
Or the one from Vegas.
That too.
Well,
With
while we're on the
Andy, you
hockey,
just want a coach.
yeah.
Well, you know who I want. I don't even have to say who I want.
You
He's bald and he's in Vancouver right now.
know me where's number 22?
Yeah. Not retired. Should be retired. Go ahead, Tom. You were gonna say something?
Nope, I'm good.
I was
Ed?
gonna say, go ahead.
Oh no, I think I interrupted Tom there. Tom, that really wasn't directed to you. That's more directed at Scotty because,
I know.
I mean, just say.
I'm on the anti-Bruins thing until they fire Sweeney, which looks like half my predictions from like a month or so ago is would be right, and the other half's going to be wrong because I had how many trades they made, and then I had them. I forgot what the other one that I had right, but it doesn't look like they're firing Sweeney to
Oh,
the
yeah.
point where they did the press conference last week, and Cam Neely and Jacobs were getting pissed having to answer questions about it.
Yeah,
And they ended
9%
up.
salary increase too on a losing team. How about
Yeah,
that?
they officially became the highest ticket prices in the league. That's
That
crazy.
whole presser. Now, I'm watching it as a non-fan. I can't even imagine watching that if you're a fan of that team. Every question they ask, every answer is like almost like it's not us. No, like zero accountability when they're answering the questions. And is there a more unlikable guy than Don Sweeney?
Yep.
He's like a dick. Like every time the guy, every time the guy opens his mouth, it's like, well, how about this? Like no personality. I don't know if it's the Harvard thing. I think the guy thinks he's like smarter than everybody else, and like everybody else is dumb.
Well, we'll get to see at the draft, right? How smart he is.
Well, they, I mean, that's their excuse is that they we win so often that we never have a high pick, so you can't really pick on our drafting because well, it's not like we're picking in the top 10. So this year you're picking in the top 10 and see what they pull.
Yeah,
But wasn't
speaking.
it, didn't they say it in the press conference? Well, he only came in like April or May, so Yeah,
we're
yeah, yeah. Like he wasn't like the assistant GM or whatever his role was before that draft.
like this, like he's been out collecting, sand dollars out at Old Orchard Beach or something. You know what I mean? Like, come on now.
Yeah, that thing, that was a bad between the all the goalie situation with Sway to this. Then
And
you got Jacob's kid talking. He's just as bad as the old man. It's like you figured once you got past the old man, you'd be free from it, but he's just as bad. And as much of a Cam Neely fan as I am, he's out of touch too.
Kiprasal is it Kiprasalov, right? From the backup for Swayman from the Bruins.
Corpusalo.
Kiprasalo,
Corpusalo, yeah.
he wants out.
Yeah, he's not. Why would he stay?
Yeah, he wants out of there too. So when is the draft lottery?
Don't know.
Couple 2 weeks.
Do they just spring that on like a Saturday night during the playoffs?
Yeah. It's a bit random.
I got this funny feeling like the first ping pong ball is gonna go to Pittsburgh. I got this weird feeling.
Trying to tell us that it's rigged. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Like the year that the Flyers could have got Patrick Kane, they got JVR instead. That one.
Good one.
Maybe it's either just. Looked it up. It says it's either going to be May 5th or 6th.
Okay. All right. All right.
Because
Now,
they go to Mile.
yeah. So, hockey talk in the books for this week, fellas. Get ready to.
I just want to say something. You know how refreshing that was to just kind of like go on the rip of like hockey talk?
Well,
You know how nice that was?
it's not
Just
out of
feels
the.
right.
But yeah,
It
it does. It
good.
does.
It just
Although,
felt refreshing.
I did ask Brad if he watched any of the Dallas series, and he said yes. So we'll have to press them on that next
We're
week
going to
when
have to ask him a few. Name me two guys out. No.
he
Watched him on Instagram.
Yeah. Thomas, there's no tinfoil hat, but you want to read the intro, and we got a little bit of local news to add to Brad not being here with the tinfoil hat. We'll keep it kind of in touch.
Sure. 1973 podcast is fueled by Dubby Energy, but it wasn't always this way. Dubby Energy was born from humble beginnings, an idea sparked in a small apartment when their founder, Anthony, set out to take on the energy drink giants, aka Big Energy. But after trying a big name competitor's product and being disappointed by the taste and poor quality ingredients, Anthony knew he could do better. So he dove deep into formulation, mastering ingredients, flavors, and performance to create an energy drink that works without the jitters, crashes, sugars, artificial dyes, or calories. Dubby launched with just one flavor and reinvested every penny to grow. Now, they've crafted 15 plus custom-made flavors enjoyed by thousands of loyal customers every month. So are you ready to break free from Big Energy? Go to www.dubby.gg and use code 1973podcast at the checkout for a 10% off your order. Dubby Energy, no jitters, no crash, just pure focus. Now back to the 1973 podcast.
All right, so no Brad this week, but there was a little local news that's buzzing around our area. It'll we'll bring Ed into the fold on this. Right now, there's a speculation that there is a New England serial killer in the midst of our current area. I believe there's eight victims that they found, and they're trying to tie in all the evidence into, to find out if it's official that there is somebody doing this. Tom, do you have any insight on any of this news?
Not much because they're trying to keep it close to the vest right now. Supposedly it runs from like Virginia, I mean Vermont to Connecticut. And I do know that there were helicopters in the air in Plymouth this past week, and they were told that they were looking for human remains. So I don't know if that has anything to do with what's going on, but that's what I heard.
I thought this was Ed, go ahead.
I have questions.
Yes.
Now, are they tying in to the same people that have died in Boston over the last past few years, or no?
I don't think so. I don't really know. I know what you're talking about the guys that are all been missing like near the waterfront. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I haven't heard anything.
The Chelsea stuff? No.
This
Okay.
is a whole new case that's popped up over the last couple of months.
Okay.
I think the last victim that they found was in Vermont, but they've gone as far as Connecticut. So I don't know if they're just trying to drum up, clicks or whatever, or sell newspapers as they would back in the day. But the whole speculation of serial killers in New England, from growing up in the area that we've grown up in. Yeah, it's a hotbed of mystery with things like that. Ryan, do you have any stuff to add from?
Now is the supposed killer driving around in an ice cream truck, Donald Duck style?
Possibly not out of the realm of speculation.
Is that strictly a 70s thing?
Could be,
Like, watch out for the white van.
watch out for the white van. Yeah.
Stay
Yeah.
away from the highway.
Maybe we'll have a documentary to watch one of these weeks on this.
We've had a lot of suspected serial killers in this area, but I don't think the cops are too I don't think any of them ever get solved.
Yeah.
What
They're the
a
same
cold
guy,
fall.
same guys that write for AEW too.
Oof. Yeah, no, I kind of caught a little glimpse of it probably like maybe beginning of the week. Then when they said they found another body, like now what's the clues that is it just the dead bodies they're finding, or are they found the same way? Are they buried? Are they just like thrown in the woods?
No, like Tom was saying, they're only letting out certain things. Like, I don't think that in any case like that they can let out the details because they don't want
A tainted jury.
not just that, but I think they don't want to give the satisfaction psychologically to who's ever doing it if it's connected. Because a lot of the times the people want they're into the rush of what gets drummed up in the news, and that's usually the MO with a lot of this stuff. Like they like to go back to the scene of the crime, when the police are there and be an onlooker, and You've watched a lot of these documentaries on this stuff, how the mind works of the people that are involved in things like this. It's always
I think too, like when they're screening like the calls of like people that might have saw stuff or whatever, they don't like to give too much information because if somebody calls in, their information actually matches the information that they currently have. They're not putting it out to the public, and then all the weirdos are calling in saying, "Oh, I saw this or I saw that," just to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's definitely spot on with that police investigation from Mind Hunters and all these other
Good
good
show.
shows. Yeah, really good show. So that's probably much it for the tinfoil hat. And you guys ready to wrap it up? We're almost at the hour mark, right? So we'll figure we'll tie this one in and go have at it. So shout outs this week. Let me start by saying before you guys jump in on this one, I'm glad it's just you guys here. So, friend of the show, Raymond. I find out this week that he's going through a cancer battle, and I just wanted to just say that we're thinking of Ray. Had him on the show. Fantastic person. Hope that 100% everything works for him. Faith, hope, and the Pope coming your way, Raymond. Ed, you want to follow that?
Yeah, I got two. One, I'm gonna follow it. Old co-worker of mine, she went in and had she had tumor removed from her brain, and she's going through lung and brain cancer right now. Hope Allison is on the road to recovery. And then also just want to wish my youngest brother Jeff happy birthday. To end it on a positive note.
Phantom, what do you got?
That's a tough follow. I think I'll go with the old fashioned I miss Shaggy and Brad.
Right, Thomas, you get to close out the show this week. Make it a good one.
I have two. One, we did that whole interview with Doug and last week, and I don't think it was ever brought up, but I was reading on Facebook today that it was a 1 year anniversary where he donated a kidney to his best friend that wrote the book. It was a 1 year anniversary of so the guy's a hero. So first I want to say that, and then I want to go a little bit sad. Our number one fan Darren, this past week it was his younger brother had passed away, made 18 years this past week. I just want to let him know we're thinking of him, and he was like a little brother to me. We miss him.
So, pretty somber finish to the show. Usually not our MO to add on a pretty sour point, but that's what we do. If you've been on the show, your family, it's a big melting pot of friendship on this 1973 podcast journey. So next week we'll be right back at it, hopefully with the regular crew. So from us to you, have a good week.